Hello, everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Talks. We speak with industry leaders, introducing you to some of the most interesting people and businesses today. We are focused on women, money, and power, as well as diversity in all areas. Welcome to C-Suite Talks. I'm Diane Gubin, co-CEO of C-Suite, along with...
Hi, I'm Beth Hilby, co-CEO of C-Suite. And this week, we're so blessed to be speaking with Tiffany Thompson. Tiffany Thompson is the Chief People Officer at Brightmark. We were so excited to be introduced to Brightmark with Tiffany and her executive team because Brightmark tackles the planet's most pressing environmental challenges with imagination, optimism, and activity that is making real progress towards a cleaner future. Their goal really is to reimagine waste through plastics renewal, circular plastics, and anaerobic digestion, renewable natural gas. So impressive with what they do if you have time to go to their website and just take a look at what they're doing. Tiffany also began her career in HR over 25 years ago. She has worked at some very well-known organizations such as Zynga, Zendesk, and Slack, and has done a lot of startup companies and IPOs and really had to take HR through all of that, which is a huge learning curve for sure. So welcome, Tiffany, to C-Suite Talks today.
Ah, thank you, ladies, so much. What a great introduction. I mean, you explained the company way better than I could, so.
Well, you know what? Just tell us what Brightmark does, okay? Because you're doing amazing work and changing the planet, but how are you doing that?
The best way to describe it is that we are reimagining waste. We are taking that plastic from the ocean, breaking it down into a pellet, then turning it into a liquid that can be used to turn it back into that plastic bottle, or even a wax, for example. But our goal, again, is to really reimagine that waste so that we don't have an ocean full of plastic. The other part of our business is taking the poop from cows, I always kind of giggle when I say that word, and then turning that back into renewable energy. So again, reimagining the waste on our world so that we can have a safer, cleaner world in the future.
Wow. I want to thank you for the work you're doing. It is so impactful. Truly, it is. So you know what? If you had people 24/7 working on the ocean problem, how long would it take to clean it up?
Right. I mean, we've got a long way to go. But that is why this mission is so important to us, is because we are making that change. And that is our goal, so that our children and grandchildren have a nice, clean planet to live on and thrive.
Fantastic.
That's fabulous. And you're growing like crazy.
Yeah. What cities are you in right now?
Right now, I mean, I think it takes longer to talk about the cities that we're not in. Because we have a hybrid workforce, we encourage our employees in certain teams to live where they want. Now, of course, there's regulations, right? You have to be in a state that we're set up in. But we are supportive that as we are understanding that our locations are everywhere, that we can have our employees in a lot of locations around the world.
Wow. So you probably have employees around the cow waste. Could you say again, what do you do with that?
Sure. And I'm happy to share this as also when people go to our site. We take that poop and we break that down and we turn that back into renewable gas.
That's wonderful. So can you tell us, you know, you've been with some of these great organizations that people know, you know, Zendesk and Slack as startups. Can you walk us through kind of how you got into HR and then how you ended up at some of these very innovative companies and startups?
Sure. So let's go back to the beginning. I wish I had like an amazing story to tell you how it started, but I was working in investment banking. And the woman who was over HR had left, and I got excited about that opportunity of HR. The ability to do what I love and working with people, watching their careers flourish. And then also, I got excited about the opportunity that was handed to me. And so that's where my big desire of learning HR and jumping into it started. But again, I've been blessed to have some amazing mentors and leaders who believed in me and saw things in me sometimes when I didn't see it in myself. And they provided me those opportunities at some of these great organizations.
That is awesome. You've had this amazing career path and you're in a fast growth company right now. So how do you manage the growth? And then once you onboard people, how do you keep them motivated? Like, how do you lead your people?
So I'll start with communication is key, right? Understanding when planning what we're going to need or who we want to be this year so that we can make sure that we have the right employees that we're hiring. Also, making sure, like, what skill sets are we looking for? Or do we actually have those skill sets inside that we just never really tapped into? So a lot of communication and a lot of planning is important. And just to make sure, the second half of your question about me as a leader, I over-communicate with my team. Keeping things in silo and not having my team understand it, because there's things that I don't really know all the time or blind spots that I have. But if I have my team that's in the know, they're always helping me to make sure that we're successful as an HR function.
And Tiffany, Beth and I had the wonderful experience of being at your facility, and we saw firsthand how you just recognize people. You just make every single person just feel so important no matter what they're doing. And you just encourage them to be the best they can be, not only within their role, but within the organization. So I think you are doing awesome work.
Thank you for those kind words. And I would say it's embedded in who I am as a human, but also those were the moments that meant so much to me throughout my career. That when I was early in my career, the CEO would smile at me and nod. Or as I got my first promotion, someone throughout the business acknowledged it. Every human is giving up their time and sacrificing time from their family to contribute to the success of Brightmark. So everyone deserves to be acknowledged, appreciated, and thanked for everything that they're doing every single day to make us successful as a business together.
That's fabulous. What are you seeing are some of the changes in HR in the benefits realm to attract talent and keep talent? What are some of the things that you think are important that you're doing?
I think every HR person should remember that employees want more than a paycheck. Also, the workforce has evolved so much. Right now, I looked at the chart. I have 5 different generations in my workforce. And each generation has experienced so much through how they've grown up, right? I think about our Gen Z who've experienced things such as George Floyd or a pandemic where individuals are, my baby boomers had never seen anything like that before. So how they entered the workforce or how they were educated on what the expectations are, 5 different generations are coming to work every day, bringing their experiences, their life, and I have to make all these different 5 generations mesh together. So that is how I think about HR. And then we have to always communicate how we're experiencing it and making sure that we have an equitable and diverse workforce so that we can have these conversations when things make some people uncomfortable and some not.
Right, right. And you said most of your workforce is not in your office. So how do you make everybody feel like they're part of the company when they're working all over?
So one of the things that we are sticklers about is that we meet once per month for a minimum of an hour. And that's with our monthly business review. And every quarter, we make sure that we meet for at least an hour and a half, digging deeper into our business. So this is just another form of communication so that those who are working from home or going to our sites aren't feeling like they're disconnected from the business. We make sure it's an effort. The other thing that we make sure that we do is during that hour or hour and a half, each part of the business has to discuss what they've been working on and what they're going to be working on. So that if you talk to one of my employees, they can tell you the HR team's been working on this and this is what's to come. And they got all that from our monthly meetings that we have.
So every business unit knows what everybody else is doing, you're saying?
Yes. And again, emphasizing on communication.
Brilliant.
Now, I know that you guys are recently going through a growth spurt and you're hiring and so forth. When you're looking at candidates for these roles, what kind of things are you looking for?
Yes. So we are actually evolving as I think about that, about what we're looking for. When we were scrappy and starting up, we were looking for individuals who understood that there will be times that we will fail. And that's okay, because part of failure is how you grow at any business. Now that we're starting to process and we're producing, we're looking for a different group of individuals to join us. Those who haven't been through so much of that ups and downs, but here's a steady business and how are we growing there? The next level of it is we're looking at our job descriptions a lot deeper. Are we writing things in our job descriptions that are discouraging individuals from applying? So we're taking another step back and saying, okay, this is the job description that might have worked a year ago, but is this something that a skill set that we really need? Or are we open to saying, hey, you might not need a college education for this role? So let's remove that line item and really put ourselves on the stand and say, what do we actually need so that we aren't having individuals self-deselect from moving forward in our process?
Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah. You know, being in staffing too, you know what, there are so many things about job descriptions that, and making it so hard for people to apply.
Agreed.
Some of the job boards make it almost impossible to even, it takes candidates forever to enter their information.
Yeah. And another thing that we've actually pushed ourselves. So for example, there's one role where we're not even saying you need to have a high school diploma, right? We're even going to take ourselves that far to remove that. But there's another role where we're going to say, hey, after 90 days on the job, you might get a this percentage increase. So that, again, that over-transparent, but the excitement so that individuals say, the range that you're at right now might not work for me, but I know if I'm able to commit and do a great job, that in 60 or 90 days later, my comp can go up by this amount. That type of information is really helping us attract more talent.
Right. And when we first met you, you described the on-the-spot bonuses and the ability for colleagues to nominate other colleagues. I think that is so innovative and just makes such an amazing corporate culture. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So a lot of the times individuals aren't extroverts. For example, myself, there's moments where I'm behind. I promise you, ladies, I promise I have it in me where I'm an introvert. But we're all laughing because we know that's sometimes not true. But we have a system where if someone in the workplace has done something that others did not see, but you want to reward them for that moment, we give out these high five awards where you can say, hey, this individual did something that helped throughout our business, and you can nominate for that person and they receive a high five award. Now, I want to be super clear. It can't be Tiffany left her badge at home and someone opened the front door for me, because I have the tendency to do that a lot. But it's truly those moments where someone may take a day off and they were ill and they wanted someone to support them. We want to be able to support each other. And we also want to be able to recognize that that type of behavior is important.
That's absolutely wonderful.
I love it.
So how do you do your work-life balance? Because you've been in all these startups and you've done all this work with companies as they've been progressing and growing and so forth. Tell us a little bit about how you manage that holistically as a career and then also with your personal life.
Right. And not only you, then I know you put that back out to your team. So maybe personal and then corporate.
So I had to start with, I'll start with me. I had to look in the mirror. What behaviors am I exhibiting to let my employees know that it's okay for them to take their time off? If I'm coming to work sick, that's letting them know without me saying it that they should probably show up if they're sick. If I'm not taking any vacations or any time away, that's undertone telling them you probably should follow me and not take that time too. So first I had to start with working on myself. And I have to be super transparent. It was really hard because you tell yourself as a leader, you know, I want to be there for them. I don't want to put that burden on my team. So again, I started with myself and looking in the mirror on how I could do better. When it comes to my team, we actually try really hard not to work in silos. So if one of my team members, so I'll start with the business. If someone in our team members has a question, they don't email us individually. They actually email our alias, HR@Brightmark. And the reason for them emailing our alias is that the junior people on our team can see how a senior person would respond. The junior individual on our team can see, oh, a lot of these questions are kind of copy paste, but just a little bit of an individual flavor. So that now when I'm able to take that time off or my team members able to take that time off, they can look back and see how we responded in the past so that we can rely on each other. So then I can lean deeper into my work-life balance. So that, again, it's not just benefits is only this person. Payroll is only this person. Again, so that we're not working in silos, so that our small and scrappy team can support each other so that we know that we can take that time away and someone will handle it instead of everything going to just one person.
Yeah, it's kind of like a help desk learning tool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except it's real life. So that's kind of interesting as well.
And when you're actually seeing it junior and earlier in your career, we have some people that are that way. They're saying, wow, this is how you respond. So there's actual learning from my team that's happening at the same time versus going to a class to learn it. You've actually got hands-on experience.
That's brilliant, because I think especially when you start a position or you're early in your career, you don't have the vocabulary. You don't know how to answer something. So you spend a lot of time trying to figure out, what do I say to this person?
Exactly. And each person has their own style, but the message is consistent. And that's one of the things that's important for my team to be learning. And I believe in being a constant learner. And so that is how we're approaching this as an HR function.
Love it. Love it. What drives you every day? Do you meditate when you wake up? Like, what is it that, or you just get up and you go, look at my to-do list. Like, what is it that drives Tiffany?
I would start with first is family. My family traditionally didn't have everything that was handed to them. So my drive is to make sure that they have a lot of the things in life that weren't provided to them early on. I wake up and I think about the organization that I work for, the difference in the lives of my family that our organization can make. And also, I also have a lot of self-motivation. There's individuals that believe in me and I want to make them proud. And I got to be honest with you, there's some people that didn't believe in me throughout my career. And that's okay too, because they motivate me also, right?
Right, in different ways.
I'm going to show them, right?
Right.
I'm going to show them what they couldn't see. And so I find motivation in so many things in life. I was really motivated and inspired from a week that I spent with a woman talking about our roles. So I try to find motivation in a little bit of everything, but the key is family, the amazing organization that I get to work for, the amazing team that I'm growing and building underneath me. And also, you know, I can't forget those that didn't believe in me. They motivate me too.
Although thankfully they're a rearview mirror for all of us.
Yes, no, for sure. But those are those moments you have to be thankful for, right? Because they encourage you sometimes to be the better version of yourself.
Yes, they were the jumping stone for sure.
How do you continue to build your network?
Yes.
C-suite.
Hello, C-suite. I mean, let's talk about an example. I was able to walk into an environment that you ladies had created, that I was welcomed. I've now made 4 new friends that I didn't have before.
Oh, yay.
I've got a coffee date next week with one of the speakers. So it's about putting yourself out there. Sometimes it's uncomfortable meeting a bunch of people that you don't know, right? And so you have to learn about yourself. What do you need to do? Breathe deeply. Understand your purpose of being there and the excitement that comes from the relationships that you build. So things like C-suite, for sure, when I think about networking. I put myself out there and went to a conference in Las Vegas this week and met some amazing contacts there. And so it's just taking that moment and saying, what am I there for? What is my purpose? And then just putting yourself out there and saying hello to people.
I love that.
That's great. So if you looked at a person coming up in the career that wanted to get into HR and wanted to follow in your footsteps, what would you tell them to do and what would you advise them to be cautious of?
Oof. So I'd be cautious of looking at my resume and thinking that was easy. Because a lot of the times people will look at the person that's sitting in these roles and say, well, I could just emulate those steps. Because what's missing is those peaks and those valleys and those tears that they don't see, the journey to get there. I'd also say you have to love people to get into this job, right? HR is one of those places where we're constantly serving and helping others. So you have to have a little bit of a hospitality in your heart. Because again, you don't want it to be a job. You want it to be something that you love to do. But if you've got a passion for people, if you love helping others, and you like really making a difference in people's lives, definitely jump into HR. There's lots of classes and courses out there. Find yourself some mentors that have been in HR or some leaders that believe in you so that you're constantly encouraged to keep going forward. But don't look at someone's resume or someone's journey and saying that one of the blueprint looks pretty simple, right? You do this job for 2 years and you do that one, because there's a lot behind the scenes that you don't know. That you have to like put your war wounds in there to be able to get to that point.
Oh, for sure. So before we wrap here, let's talk about the younger Tiffany. If you had to go back and look back and say, not that you should redo mistakes because those are what made us, but what advice would you give to either yourself or the young women who are following up today?
I would tell her you are going to be so proud of yourself in 15, 20 years, right? Have patience, because everything that you want is not always meant for you. So you may want this certain role, or you may want this certain job, but that company wasn't ready for you yet. So have that patience to know that everything's going to be okay. And I'd also tell her, you go, girl. Don't change one thing about yourself. Keep smiling. Keep staying forward. Keep having a voice. Because the one thing that is special is that, Tiffany, you are uniquely you. And I tell that to all young women. There is no one else like you. And that is why you are here and you have a purpose. So continue to strive and thrive in your greatness and learn your path and have patience along the way.
Ooh, that's so beautiful. I just want to package that little blurb that you just said and put that out to all the young women of the world, because that was so meaningful. Thank you, Tiffany.
Of course.
So we've been speaking with Tiffany Thompson. Tiffany is the Chief People Officer at Brightmark. And Tiffany, what's the website? Could you spell it?
Sure. It's www.brightmark.com, BRIGHTMARK.com.
Terrific. And I know you're hiring a lot of people right now. So if anyone's looking for something, check out their website. And of course, we'd like to thank our listeners. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you to our sponsors, Google, City National Bank, the law firm of Paul Hastings, Interpublic Group, which are advertising media PR companies, and my firm, Amplify Professional Services. We do executive search and IT consulting. Thank you for listening. Beth, where can people find us?
You can find us, as always, on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you find your podcasts. And please feel free to go out to C-Suite at www.cswee.org. We have fabulous events, and we'd love to see you and network with amazing women like Tiffany. So please come and join in the party. Thank you.